that's right. I've got Mark Warner sitting across from me. Yes, he is the CEO of Greenwood Partnership Alliance. We've been trying to get you on the show for a while, Mark. It's good you finally decided to sit down with me here today.
I appreciate the opportunity. I know you've been trying. It's been busy.
Must mean we must have lots of business that's going to be coming to Greenwood.
Well, it's always a numbers game, but the project activity has been pretty strong this year. I mean, we've tracked since the first of the fiscal year, which would have been July 1. You know, we're tracking 42 projects, which is pretty strong.
That is pretty strong. How many are, shall we say, hot?
We've got two that I would say are hot. We've actually got a visit in the next 2 days with a company just looking at us pretty hard. So keep your fingers crossed for us. And, you know, we've got a good visit plan for them. And I think we're going to make a very good impression.
Well, you know, it's all about making a good impression, isn't it? Actually, when you're talking to a business about coming to an area, it's almost like a job interview, isn't it?
Very much so. Very much so. Because when a company's looking to come into an area, they're going to ultimately go where they feel comfortable with the people that they've met. And there's a relationship, and it's all about relationships. And if they can develop a level of trust and communication from your mayor and chair of county council
to everybody.
Yeah, it's everyday people. It's everyday people. That's right.
You know, and I mean, you're looking at your schools, you're looking at the culture, you're looking at the movies, you're looking at the shopping, you're looking at all this thing. Now, one of the things that we do have to give kudos to is the fact that we now have TJ Maxx coming to town. And the expansion over there at the mall with Michaels and moving around some of the stores. They've got a new child shop. You know, the mall really, 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 I mean, it's going on 11 years, I think. But the mall finally is really coming on strong. Looks great over there and should become an asset to Greenwood in a big way.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the things, you know, when you get down close on a project and they're looking at several communities, they want to know where my children or my employees' children going to be educated. They want to know where we're going to dine out, where we're going to be entertained, where are we going to shop. And it really is nice to be able to tell folks that, hey, look at what's going on at our mall and the investment that Hull Story Gibson Properties are making, and they've done that to be able to bring TJ Maxx and Michaels, which it's it is huge. And I think the other thing, the story there is there's something happening here in Greenwood that's making retailers like TJ Maxx and Michaels look at this community, because we are still, in a lot of cases, considered a third tier community when it comes to the retailers.
Well, you know, I think the problem is it is easy to drive up the road to Greenville. It is easy to drive to Augusta or Columbia. So I think a lot of these stores have just said, why bother? But now with those coming into the area, of course, with the price of gas and this type of thing, and of course, I don't think most people really understand the significance of shopping local, what it really means to our tax base, not only just for taxes coming in the door, but when other businesses look at coming here, when they see people shopping in their own community, it really brings other business.
Yeah, it really does. And I think the thing that some of these retailers understand is that if you look at a 30-mile drive time from us, where's a town that a TJ Maxx or a Michaels would set up shop? There's not one.
Right.
So they look at us as a bit of a captive market. And you look at self-regional health care and the Greenwood Regional Rehabilitation Hospital and the folks they draw here. And we talked about this years ago when you interviewed me about how many people, when they come here for their health care needs from the outlying communities, they're shopping too and dining out.
Sure.
So it's a draw. And if you look at that 30-mile drive time, and it's some pretty interesting demographics, and look at what we can get. I don't think we're done. I think there's some more things that we keep our fingers crossed and keep working at them. You know, I think we're going to see some more stuff.
Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. Yes, we'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right. Well, Mark, we kind of got interrupted there with our interview here today, but we're going to go ahead and put this together as a podcast so that people can know what's going on with the Greenwood Partnership Alliance. Now, we were talking about businesses looking at our area and that it's important on all aspects, not only the technical ones, shall we say, but what a business perceives of our community.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the technical aspects are what gets you to be the final two or three communities when a company's trying to narrow down where they want to locate. And then they're gonna look at which community are they most comfortable in. And that has to do with everything from the schools, the restaurants, the entertainment options, how comfortable they feel with the people they meet, both with and, you know, we arrange for people to meet with everybody from mayor to chairman of county council to industry executives. But they also, they pay attention to the waitress in the restaurant and that clerk at the hotel. And they ask a lot of questions. And we still see that occasional time when a company comes to town before we know it. Sure. And they want to see what the community's like without a professional salesperson like us
controlling
taking them
the
around.
Environment. Exactly. Controlling the environment.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. So,
well, you know, that goes the same thing when you're looking at colleges, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, you've got the intern or whatever that takes mm-hmm. them around and makes for that, shall we say, as perfect presentation mm-hmm. as you can make. Then if you're smart, you go back and you just kind of check it on your own.
Sure. Wouldn't you do that if you were running a company?
Sure.
And you were looking at somewhere to locate?
Absolutely.
I mean, I know I would. I would want to be in that community without anybody knowing it.
Sure.
And talking to folks, and because that's what you're going to get the most genuine feedback then.
Absolutely.
And these folks are making, you know, millions and multi-million dollar decisions. You know, their careers ride on where you locate a company. I mean, it's high stakes, you know, for whoever's involved.
Stakes.
So, you know, it's, and they look at everything.
Sure. And, you know, sometimes what we were talking about just a second ago was the fact that so many times with the advent of the internet, it has changed the way companies do business. It used to be they came to town, they talked, they checked it out. You could spend a good 6 months knowing that you, who you were interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
Anymore, they check it out, and you may not even know whether you passed or failed or whether they're interested in your community.
Yeah, there's plenty of times now where we'll get a call from a project manager at the Department of Commerce, or we'll get contacted by a consultant, and they'll say, well, you've made it through the second cut for project so-and-so. And that's the first we've heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done their research on the internet, and they're looking at do you have a site that fits their requirements? Do you have a building that fits their requirements? They may be looking for wastewater or rail access, something technical or about the search that they're looking at. They
sure.
can find a lot of that information on the internet, and you might get eliminated before you knew anything
you
about
even,
it.
Even involved.
That's right. That's right.
Is that good or bad? What do you think?
I don't know. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. So. I mean, that's, you know, there's very little we can do to influence that.
Sure.
We just have to understand how things work and be able to react to it.
That's... Absolutely. Now, of course, one of the big things, of course, everybody has always said that that having an interstate would make a big difference. Do you think that's a big issue anymore?
I think it is if a company is looking for a distribution or a fulfillment center, mm-hmm. such as the Amazon deal that's going on in Lexington. Yeah, it's important for them. But the other reason a company might want internet access is exposure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at where BMW sits and look at how much traffic passes them.
Sure.
And if you look at where all the other automotive plants that are located in Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, guess what? They're all on frontage, and I call that the corporate ego. That they sure. they want that exposure.
Sure, because you were actually telling me how many businesses here have a distribution. It was kind of amazing how many trucks in and out of here every day, and that's not including UPS or FedEx.
That's correct. Yeah, there's at least five of our employers that have their own distribution presence here, and we did a not a very scientific poll. We polled about eight of our employers, the ones that you would think, those five with distribution centers plus a few others where we know the traffic's pretty high, and on an average daily basis there are over 320 tractor trailers that come in and out of Greenwood County. That's pretty incredible for being 30 miles off an interstate.
Absolutely.
So does being off the interstate hurt us? No, I don't think it does. I think
it just becomes easier.
It becomes easier. It does hurt us when you've got some of the projects that are driven that they say they want to be on the interstate, maybe not have the right reason to be on the interstate. We may get cut on those. But for the most part, once we get people here and they see the different kinds of industries that are here and they see everything else we've got to offer, they think, wow, look, why is all that here?
Right. Well, I agree. And, one of the other things, though, is the fact we had Gene Hancock on a few weeks ago. He was talking about the water, that our water is superior. Plus, the reason our water rates went up is because we don't have the industry to support what they got ready for, like for Sara Lee and some of the other companies and just the mills that are no longer here.
Right. Right. And that is unfortunate, but there is both the water system and the wastewater system are geared up for more capacity than we're using right now. Turn that around, that is an asset to sell. And believe me, that's something that we sell. If you look across a lot of communities, particularly in South Carolina, if you look at their wastewater capacity, you look at their water capacity, they're almost at capacity. And so if they want to add, they're going to have to add more infrastructure, which adds more fixed costs, which does what to the rates?
Makes
them
go
up.
Sure.
So, we're in a pretty good spot. And I think, that's part of our marketing strategy for us is to look at what we call a wet industry, one that needs water or wastewater.
What do you think the possibility of getting more industry? I mean, we're now getting some of the retail that we've been so desperate for right here in our area. But what do you think about industry coming into Greenwood and the surrounding areas?
It's still going to happen. Manufacturing's not dead, no matter what people say. It's here to stay. If you look at particularly some of our neighboring counties, and there, Lawrence County did a great job with ZF. What the Germans call ZF in the transmission plant. There's going to be some spill-off with that. There's going to be probably some spill-off from First Quality up in Anderson. Our counterparts up there did a great job with that investment. We're in a good spot. We are, and I think we've still got some good opportunities for manufacturing, and I think As a country, we need to be focusing on that, because I'm kind of old school, as you might can tell.
Not you, Mark.
Well, there's the old school says there's three ways to create wealth. You can mine it, you can grow it, or you can make it. And the make it part's manufacturing. And there's still plenty of opportunity for that. We've got a workforce that knows manufacturing, so that's a plus to us. We've got industrial sites that are ready to go. We've still got some vacant buildings that are ready to go, even though those are getting to be a little harder to find right now, which is a good thing. And you look at,
so you feel the possibility of manufacturing coming back into our area, because that creates bigger opportunities for jobs most of
the
time.
Sure, there's always a spinoff effect from manufacturing. If you look at what's here, save for a couple of companies, most of our manufacturers are back at pre-recession employment levels, and we're talking with a couple of them about some expansion plans. So, and historically, about 80% of the jobs in the capital investment that you announce comes from your existing employers.
Sure.
So that's in actually, if you look at our numbers going back to 2007, we're up in the 90% and higher range, you know, for what we've announced. So, you know, working with our existing employers, that's our bread and butter.
And, well, you know, the announcement that you made the other day with Ascend.
Yeah.
That was actually Monsanto, mm-hmm. wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. the fact that at one point they were talking about that was going to go away.
Yeah.
Well, and now they're actually.
Yeah. They did idle one plant, the North plant, but they've put that announcement, that puts about just short of $10 million in new equipment in the South plant. And actually Wednesday of this week, they celebrate their two-year anniversary of being Ascend Performance Materials. So
time great, marches on,
it's
doesn't
a great
it?
Story.
Absolutely,
it's a great
it
story,
is.
You know?
So, you know, those are the things that are good out there. And, of course, we are getting some retail here that's good. You said you had 42 projects in the mix here. Two are hot. Any idea you're going to – I mean, I'm just going to ask. Are you going to tell me what they are?
No, in a word.
Okay, well, what's their code name then? Can you give me the code name for these two projects? I love the code names.
Wow.
So,
now
let's
I'm gonna
see.
Have to think. One code name is Project Spray.
Spray, okay.
And the other is Project Productivity.
Project Productivity. Okay, well, now we have something to work with here. Now, who can break the code? That's what I want to know. All right. Well, anyway, so we're talking two projects that are in the mix. We were talking earlier today that out of the 42, you've had four come to fruition mm-hmm. already. So that's mm-hmm. like 10%. How do you feel that work? Is that a good percentage, Mark?
I think it is. Of course, you'd like to see it higher, mm-hmm. you know, obviously. But, you know, with the economy the way it's been, you know, we'll take those all day long. And they're, you know, they're certainly not to the level of a ZF or a First Quality, but they're good, solid wins or good, solid companies. And some of it's expansion, some of it's new. One of our best announcements in the recent past is this was Project Planet. So you can think about the code
Planet.
Names.
Okay.
The company's name was JATCO.
Okay.
And they're a supplier for Velux that was in California. And Velux wanted them closer because of fuel cost, because of their green initiatives. They're trying to reduce their carbon footprint. So it made a lot of sense to move them here. And the company bought a building that, quite frankly, you know, probably needed to be raised, and mm-hmm. they've last I checked with them, they've purchased and installed three injection molding presses, and their employment, they projected about 30 or 39 jobs, and they've hired about 16 people so far. So they're right on track. Good solid little company, good solid project. Tell you how things have changed. We've got files on that project that were active for 5 years before we finally were able to get them here.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, you wonder about because now you've been on this job for how long?
Started in May of 2007.
2007.
Yeah.
And it's taken a bit to get things rolling, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it's a marathon because you've got to have sites and buildings that are ready to go, and you've got to build relationships with companies and with consultants, and that's something we're always doing. It's
hard when you have turnover, particularly
sure,
in your job. I mean,
sure.
You've got to have that continuity to
yep.
make things grow.
Yeah, yeah, and some of the folks we've got a new, I won't say new. We've got a business development person that's been on staff for almost a year now.
Mm-hmm.
Another week, he'll be with us a year, and he works hard. Part of his job is doing research and calling companies that we think are in a from what our research tells us need to look at expanding, Sure. And so he goes.
What's his name?
His name is Bill Demuth.
Okay.
And he's got about 20 years experience in economic development and business development. And we're just looking at our travel plans for the coming year. And he'll be on the road a lot. And some of it will be trade shows that we go to. For example, he and I will both be going to the World Bio Conference in Washington, D.C. In July. But he'll be setting up appointments with companies that make sense for us to call on outside of the trade show. So we're not only, you know, the trade shows are good for meeting some folks,
sure,
and getting a little exposure.
Yeah, sure.
But you really want to set up meetings and talk to folks outside those trade shows in that area. So
you have to be aggressive. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't sit here and say, hey, it's
that's
all
right.
going to come.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing that's changed about business totally, don't you think, is that mm-hmm. you've got to be aggressive if you're going to go out there and get it.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
You know, one of the things that has been kind of bothersome is the labor board, the National Labor Board with Boeing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about bringing a company from California, small company, mm-hmm. albeit bringing mm-hmm. it right here to Greenwood, you just have to wonder what could happen to our country if they start saying this company can move, this company can't. I mean, I think there's a good fight going on. I don't think it's going to happen, but still, it's frightening to think that the government might be telling us what businesses can and cannot move.
That is very frightening in your words. I can't disagree with you anymore. And, you know, one of the things that South Carolina does is we market ourselves as a right-to-work state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we've got to, you know, and one of the strong suits that we have is we've got employers that know how to run a good manufacturing operation to create a culture where the employees can talk to management,
mm-hmm.
and they don't need a third party to talk for them, because that costs money.
Sure.
And I think that's the message. You know, we position ourselves as a right to work state, and I think we've got to be able to, you know, to deal with those kind of issues and hit them head on. And I think you're right. It's frightening that the NLRB could, you know, make the ruling they did, but you know, a lot of things get resolved in our court system that way. I don't think they have much to stand on, because if you look at what's happened in Everett, Washington, that, you know, they haven't lost any jobs.
That's what I can't understand.
Their employment has actually gone up.
Right. That's what I can't understand. It's not like they just picked up stakes and said, okay, we're moving to South Carolina. They kept their plant there.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So it's kind of hard to understand.
Yeah.
But anyways, getting back here to Greenwood and whatever. Now, what do you think the effect of the Amazon deal, since it was so far out and then it's so far in? Of course, the Senate will be voting on that this week. I understand they're even getting a special exemption to go ahead and deal with Amazon rather than finish the budget, which according to their law down there should be first. But they're going to do that. What do you think about Amazon? What effect will that have, any effect on us? Not Amazon itself, but the mm-hmm. effect of business.
I don't think it's going to have any long-term effect. We've had to obviously answer a lot of questions, and you know, people that we're talking to from other states and consultants and companies both, they want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be short-lived. But, you know, it's something we have to deal with right now. And I think...
Isn't it an issue that maybe you might have to deal with someday when bringing a company here to Greenwood?
It could be. But you got to remember that you compartmentalize this one into the e-commerce sales tax collection.
Sure.
It's not like, you know, when the incentives that we can offer at a local level are focused on property taxes. And our legislature, that responsibility has been given to the counties. So there's not really anything they can do that'll impact our ability to offer an incentive.
Sure. I talked to Mike Pitts this morning, Representative Mike Pitts, and he said that really the sales tax issue should have been something that the federal government addresses. He says, and they don't do either. That's per Mike Pitts. They don't handle immigration, and they don't handle the interstate issues that they should be handling. But you know, when you look at the amount of, and I know a lot of small businesses are upset about this, but number one, they did not open a retail store. They're simply a distribution. But the other thing is, if you look at, since we do have income tax, and if we'd ever get that fixed in the state, that could make a big difference as far as the number of employees that will be making money, that will be able to go out and buy goods and services, what a difference that's going to make.
Sure. I mean, you're exactly right. There's 1,200 people, and from what I understand, the wage levels were pretty strong. I think they were around $17 an hour. Don't hold me to that, but that's what I remember. That's pretty strong.
Sure.
And those folks are going to buy groceries, and they're going to dine out, and they're going to buy clothes. And
Jewelry.
And as long as they don't do it online, then we'll collect, you know, the sales tax, and they'll be paying income taxes too.
Sure.
And don't forget that the building itself and whatever equipment, I think what I was looking at today, they pay about $1 million in property taxes that Lexington County is not getting now.
That's right.
So that's all positive.
That's right. And that, you know, that I guess my point was that's puts out an image that our state is willing to work with business. We're open for business. Come to South Carolina. Let's see what we can do. You know, so many states have really opened up their doors. What was it? Michigan. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we see ads for Michigan down here in South Carolina all the time.
Yeah.
It has changed out there.
Sure. It absolutely has. And, you know, we're Greenwood County is part of the Upstate Alliance. And if you go to iwasblownaway.com, you'll see the marketing campaign that's done for the upstate of South Carolina that goes out everywhere. In fact, they just had the, you know, the BMW Charity Pro-Am, and that marketing spot is played all over the Golf Channel during their telecast, and then it runs continuously. There's the internet connection to it. But we got great exposure as the upstate, you know, just this past week with the BMW Charity Pro-Am, and I was blown away.
I was blown away. There you go.
Yeah.
Iwasblownaway.com.
There you go. That's it. Check it out.
All right. Check it out. Iwasblownaway.com. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. Yes, we'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
All right, then we're back here, and we are with the CEO of the partnership, Greenwood Partnership Alliance, right here, Mark Warner. Mark Warner, we have been talking about issues all over the board here, but I think it all goes to one thing, and that's how can we grow our community? You know, some people actually say we don't want to grow it. We like it the size it is. Mm-hmm. What is the plan for the future for Greenwood? What have people gotten together and said this is what we should be doing?
Yeah, let me just mention one thing about the why do we want to grow it.
Right.
I mean, if you look at, and this is, if you look at the Fortune 500, you know, top 50 companies list going back as long as they were keeping that, well, the same companies are on that list. So companies come and go. So, you know, you've got to continually recruit. I mean, we know.
Greenwood Mills being gone.
Yeah, Greenwood Mills.
What a loss.
If you wait until something's gone. Mm-hmm. To try to replace it, then you've waited too long. People may leave, and so there goes one of your key assets you work for. So there's got to be something always in the pipeline, and that's kind of the way we look at it. And, you know, I was in a manufacturing corporation myself, and often wondered about, you know, well, all new industries coming, well, they're going to compete with our workforce. Yeah, they will. But you've got to run a good operation. You've got to treat your people well. You've got to pay them. You've got to develop them. you got to do those things anyway. If you continue to do that, you'll have a loyal workforce no matter who's coming. But you know, it may create some turnover, but that's healthy. Mm-hmm. That's always healthy. But you know, kind of to answer your question, we've been working for quite a few years. Started with a strategic plan that came out in 2008, and we've been working that plan. And then
was it a 5-year plan?
Yeah, it's a 5-year plan. Well, portions of it. It ranged everything from near term to some extremely long range plans. But at the end of 2009, we started looking at how to resource the organization again. So we looked at what do we want to accomplish in the next 5 years. And so we put together what our strategic goals are. We did a capital campaign that was successful for us. Didn't quite hit our goals, but we came close. And so we're real happy with that. But we look at it as focusing on 5 primary areas. And number one is what we call business retention and expansion. And that is working with our existing employers to help them be successful. If you remember some of the things we talked about earlier, about 80% on average of your new jobs and investment come from your existing employers. So, you know, we survey the employers every year electronically. Mm-hmm. And then we follow those up with a series of face-to-face visits, which is the phase we're in right now. We got to be real. I'm real happy. We sent out 46 electronic surveys, mm-hmm. and we've gotten almost 50% return, which when you're doing surveys, that's pretty strong.
Absolutely.
So we were thrilled about that and got some good information and. From one of those face-to-faces that we've always already been on, we've found out about an expansion plan. So it's all positive there. The second focus area, and we mentioned Bill Demuth in our business recruitment, mm-hmm. That's number two, trying to find more employers. Our goal there, and it's one of the things that, again, if you look back to 2007, of the jobs we announced, about 14% of those jobs were above the per capita income. What we want to accomplish over the next 5 years is recruit jobs that will raise that percentage from 14% to 35%, mm-hmm. which will make a big impact on our per capita income. It also recognizes we still need to recruit some jobs that are, you know, medium to low skill requirements because there's still a workforce that needs those kind of jobs as well.
You know, that's an interesting point because, you know, sometimes we try to go with so much of the higher tech mm-hmm. jobs that we forget about the people that they're in that mm-hmm. 45 to 65 age bracket there mm-hmm. that going back to school and that type of thing, it's not a big possibility for.
That's
they
right.
need that.
That's right. Yeah. So we tried to one thing it's helped us do is be more strategic and more focused on when we're doing our marketing, what kind of companies are we looking for and making sure there's a mix. So far, we're running above that percentage right now, but, you know, some of those lower paying jobs, those will come along too. And we'll, yeah. you know, just if you remember back in time, there was a lot of discussion about did we need a call center here with the lower pay scale there? Well, you know what? They've done great, and
they keep expanding.
They keep expanding. They're somewhere around 700 jobs there now.
And that's right there at Sykes.
Yeah.
Now, you know, one of the things that I think is, and you know what? They don't, from what I've heard, they don't take any stuff. You either conform to their standards or you're out. I mean, I don't know how many people I've talked to who've been a little bit upset that because they didn't dress right or they didn't this, that, and the other, they were mm-hmm. out. But they have required their workforce to be up to their standards. And one of the things that I also wanted to talk about was the fact of our education here. Mm-hmm. Just the G. Frank Russell Center, Piedmont Tech, I mean, they have come on so strong with bringing the type of programs that can allow a person to go back to school and get the education that they need.
Those are two great examples. The Career Center, I can't say enough good things about them. They're a true gem. And
sometimes overlooked.
Often overlooked.
Yes.
And they're not atypical of career centers. in all of our school districts. They do a marvelous job. In fact, I just got through signing 78 work ethic certificates, which is up. That almost doubles what we did last year.
And
those
great.
Are all happening at the Russell Career Center, and those will actually
are for students.
Those are for students,
right?
That they've been evaluated not only on their grades and their attendance and their discipline referrals, but also on how productive they are in class, what kind of leadership they show. Even down, you mentioned how people dress. They even are judged or evaluated on how they appear, what their
present
appearance
themselves.
Is. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So it parallels a performance evaluation system that an employer would use.
Sure.
And
that's important. Not everybody is going to go to college.
That's right.
And not everybody should go to college.
That's right.
You know, I mean, we'd like to say everybody go to college, but not everybody should. So I think it's invaluable.
Yeah, and it's a voluntary program. The students don't have to do it. They have to want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm waiting to see what the numbers look like, but only about half of those that volunteer for it gain the credential. So that tells me it means something.
Absolutely.
And I think, and that gives, you know, a student coming out of high school, say if they want to enter, you know, apply for a job at Capsugel or at Cooper Power or at Eaton,
mm-hmm.
or wherever, they've got a credential that said they can say, look, here's something I accomplished.
Here's something tangible that
exactly.
I accomplished, yes.
Exactly.
And I think that's a big plus.
Yeah.
And
mention a couple other things from our schools. The Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math Magnet School
mm-hmm.
at Westside is phenomenal. It is unbelievable, and that's something, you know, we've been talking about with Dr. Johnson for a while, and they've done a great job. You've got the Arts Magnet School over at the Brewer Middle School, and I know there's a couple of more magnet type programs that they're announcing now that they're doing everything they can to give people the opportunities to get the kind of educational experience that they really want and need. So you're
right. Education is changing. The
Absolutely.
Way we educate our students is changing. That's
Absolutely.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, Piedmont Tech is right there. When there's a program that needs to be done, they design it. They put it together. This new REACH program they've just
mm-hmm.
put together, 2 nights a week for 2 years, and you can get your associates in business or management or arts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky. I mean, we've got not only Piedmont Tech, we've got Lander University right here. Both of those are big supporters of the partnership and what we do, and we work closely with them. And I think, those are definitely assets that we take advantage of and are good to have. And, you know, good segue from new business recruitment into talent recruitment and retention. That's what we used to call workforce development. We reinvent our names too. But anyway, that, you mentioned Piedmont Tech and Lander, and we work with them. And I think, some of the things we're working on right now is how can we raise our educational attainment in the county? Don't have anything concrete yet. We're doing a lot of research. We're looking at a lot of things. But if you look at a lot of the reports that are out there and the studies that have been done, the higher your educational attainment in your community, the higher the per capita income and the lower the unemployment level. And you can, when you go into the unemployment data and you break it down by education level,
mm-hmm.
If you're less than a high school diploma, you've got a much higher chance of being unemployed than not. So those are some of the things we're working on in talent recruitment and retention is, you know, how do we do that? How do we keep more students, you know, in high school? And then how do we get more to the 2-year college and to the 4-year college and beyond?
That's right. And, of course, that goes to how does our community look to those coming into our community?
Mm-hmm.
So these are all good things.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're all looking for, you know, that idyllic place. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, it's invaluable what the partnership for today and tomorrow does. That's
mm-hmm.
right. They're building. And of course, you know, I get a little tired of these names, Project Spray and Project Productive.
Productivity.
Productivity. Oh, excuse me. Productivity. Okay, let's add that Y on there. We'll be breaking that down, seeing if we can break that code. More retail is coming to Greenwood. That's a good thing as far as our community. But as we go ahead and wrap this up, Mark, I know that everybody is always on your butt about what's coming next. We all would like to see more sooner than later, but it's tough out there to pull it off and make it happen, isn't it?
Well, it is. That's the environment we're in, and we tell folks this is a marathon. It's not a sprint, and you keep doing the right things and your community. I mean, we're in a great spot. We had a Project Spray was here last week or 2 weeks ago, and we pulled together some folks from the community for them to meet with. We had very little time to prep anybody, but you know what? We shined. This Greenwood County made a great impression, and that's the kind of people we've got. And I think that's, we're all fortunate. We've got leadership and folks in the community that they're willing. We turn people out to meet with this company on a Saturday afternoon.
And they were willing to be there.
Yeah, and we had less than an hour's notice.
Well, they planned that way. Yeah, to see what you could produce. Absolutely.
But we did. And we got people that are willing to do that. So that says a lot. We're fortunate that we've got that kind of leadership and that kind of citizens that will step up and do what they need to do.
Well, it certainly has been a pleasure to sit down and talk with you today. I certainly hope the next time we try to get you on the show, you won't take so long to come on, Mark Warner. But it is nice to get an update. It is nice to know what's going on, because sometimes you wait and you don't see stuff, and then all of a sudden there's a burst, but then you don't see stuff for a while.
Well, maybe WLMA should consider investing in the partnership, and you'd have a lot of access to us.
Maybe the partnership should invest in WLMA to get the word out there so people would be saying, wow, that's really going on. All right. Hey, we're here with Mark Warner. We've had a good time here today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed coming on the show here today, Mark.
I have. Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood.